Hey, this is Kevin Sorbo here, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. And really, do some thinking, seriously.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids, going to cons is our.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Long Box, guys. My name is Thomas Strange. With me, as always, are some of my best friends since I was a little kid. Joshua Hopper, how you doing and what are you drinking?
Doing okay, and tonight I am drinking what I have dubbed the Hobgoblin, which is 1 ounce of Cointreau, 3 ounces of Pimm's, and 6 ounces of orange seltzer.
And why'd you come up with Hobgoblin?
He's the goblin-esque guys, he's the most orange. He's always been drawn orange.
Tommy, he's orange. You got it. It's perfect. Tommy, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm doing okay, and I'm drinking some Whistle Pig rye whiskey.
I love Whistle Pig. I myself tonight am drinking a Harvey Bullock, which is a glass full of the last dregs of 3 different bottles of scotch. Call it a Harvey Bullock. Mikey, how you doing, or what are you drinking?
I'm doing excellent tonight, and I am drinking a Sobe Water Black and Blueberry spiked with vodka, because I'm just that kind of guy.
So you're drinking a college girl.
Just don't tell my wife.
Just don't tell my wife.
Shut
Speaking
up,
of college girls.
Or millennial purple passion.
Oh, millennial purple passion. I like that. Speaking of college girls, that's not a good segue for what we're going to talk about tonight. Well, it would have been a good segue is if I ended up with Josh with the Hobgoblin, because that is a good segue. Tonight we're going to be talking about some of Spider-Man's best, coolest, or just most memorable villains. Spider-Man's first villain, of course, is always himself. Hopefully we're all going to skip that one. Mike, what's one of your favorite Spider-Man villains?
Well, if you're going to talk about Spider-Man, you better talk about Spider-Man's greatest story ever. And that leads me to his best villain, Sergei Nikolovich Kravinov. That's right, Kraven the Hunter.
Drink.
Drink. There we go, already.
He was my number one. Carry on.
Kraven the Hunter first appeared in Amazing Spider-Man number 15 back in 1964, created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko. He is the son of Russian nobility who has trained himself to be the greatest hunter in the world by not only just experience, but by also using potions and stuff to enhance his strength, his agility, and to actually increase his longevity as well. At a certain point, Kraven just snaps, having lost constantly to Spider-Man, and it starts him off on a path of destruction, which is called Kraven's Last Hunt, which is probably my favorite Spider-Man story of all time. What about you guys? Did you like that storyline?
I actually haven't read that, surprisingly. When was that?
Kraven's Last Hunt was in the 1980s, I think 1984.
That seems
set in 3 different comics. Not only is it in runs through Amazing Spider-Man, Web of Spider-Man, and I think Spectacular Spider-Man.
I will have to hunt those down.
Aha, I see what you did there.
I have not read a lot of Spider-Man, so.
Kraven obsessed by the fact that Spider-Man has constantly beat him, decides that there's only one way he can defeat Spider-Man, and that is by becoming the Spider itself. So he goes through all these weird rituals, injecting himself with poison, eating spiders, and then goes out, finds Spider-Man, hits him with a tranquilizer, a heavy, heavy tranquilizer, buries Spider-Man in the ground, and then proceeds to throw on the black costume, because this is the black costume days, and go around and pose as Spider-Man, taking over his spot. he finds Vermin, one of Spider-Man's other villains, who he has never been – Spider-Man has never been able to defeat one-on-one. He beats Vermin, captures him, tortures him, pretending to be Spider-Man. And then when Spider-Man finally escapes, he's like, I forgive you, Spider-Man, because I have – done what you couldn't. I have defeated you by taking your place and being better at being Spider-Man than you. Yeah, he has that weird accent because he's Russian. And then he unleashes Vermin, and Spider-Man has to decide between going after Kraven, who has buried him alive for 2 weeks, or stopping Vermin, who's a homicidal maniac. So he goes after Vermin, and after he leaves, Kraven's like, yeah, I'm good. And then blows his head off with a shotgun. It has been criticized as glorifying suicide, and that's not really the case. If you read the story, you can tell that Kraven is deeply disturbed.
Now looking at this up on eBay, I do remember a couple of the covers. The one in particular, of course, is Spider-Man pretty new to the black costume, sort of up in the corner over Kraven's shoulder in the trophy room. That is a fantastic cover. I do remember that.
All six of those covers are amazing. The hand coming out of the grave, Kraven holding the Spider-Man costume and dancing on Peter Parker's grave. Well, he doesn't know it's Peter Parker, but Spider-Man's grave.
So I'm thinking I did read some of this back in the day. But yeah.
So I'm going to blame the poison on his blowing his own head off. I'm going to say the poison got to his brain.
Sure.
Not a bad theory,
actually. That guy was poisoned.
That guy was poisoned.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, if it makes you feel better, because it's comic books, Kraven ends up coming back to life and is still a villain in the Marvel Universe. The last appearance I saw him in was in Squirrel Girl, where he gets into a major fight with Squirrel Girl because he was attacking Tippy, Squirrel Girl's companion, and Squirrel Girl gets Kraven to stop fighting her by saying, hey, look, this is a Leviathan card that's in my Deadpool collection of Marvel supervillains. Why don't you go hunt this? And so Kraven decides to go off and hunt monsters.
A perfectly cromulent way to make Kraven leave you alone. Josh, I see one was taken, but what's one of your other favorites?
I will have to go with Mysterio. The man with no powers.
Drink.
And the...
Drink.
So Mysterio actually shows up like 2 issues before Kraven. Once again, Stan Lee and Ditko. It was the same year. It's Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man 13. Now, the original guy, Quentin Beck, he's a stuntman and a special effects wizard. He specializes in all manner of subterfuge and stage magic, and the creation of illusions, and he uses them to great effect. And even though he has no superhuman powers whatsoever, using deception and misdirection, he still manages to get beat up by Spider-Man every time. And you gotta love
Actually,
that.
I would argue that the I-Man gets more use out of her crystal ball mounted on her head.
He does get the most use out of a crystal ball on his forehead than any other character in the Marvel Universe.
He gets away with a lot. And then eventually, in order to sort of like even up the odds, they do give him a variety of gadgets and like chemical sprays that come out at his wrists. So smoke screens and stuff that inhibits Spider-Man's senses and gas and stuff that eats away his webbings and all that stuff.
Once again, I would say Ruby of the I-Men has a better giant fishbowl mask.
But I mean, Mysterio really carries it off. I mean, look at that guy. He looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm. He does.
Nobody wears a fishbowl better than Mysterio.
No one.
All right, well, LT, what's one of your favorites?
So, yeah, I just love his he just keeps coming back, and he's one of those guys who's crafty and uses ingenuity to try to get his way, even though he keeps getting beat. He just keeps coming back.
Well, it's not really one of my favorites, but it is such a staple Spider-Man character that I feel like we would be remiss if we didn't mention the Lizard. Kurt Connors, scientist, trying to do well in the world, trying to heal people, missing an arm, decides to try to rectify the situation by coming up with a formula based on reptilian DNA to try to regrow limbs, and of course, being the good scientist that he is, instead of testing this, say, on animals first, he tests it on himself and gets turned into the lizard. A not as brilliant and definitely different personality being the lizard who gets beaten by Peter Parker, Spider-Man, who invariably finds an antidote, always temporarily, to Kurt Connors' situation as the wizard and turns him back into the feeble doctor that he is. I mean, he's been around since Amazing Spider-Man number 6. Back in 1963, created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko. He's been in, like, just about all the animated Spider-Man series. They keep bringing him back.
So my thought on the lizard was, I only like the lizard when he's part of, like, the team. Like, what do they call it when they all teamed up? Like, the Fearsome Seven?
Sinister Six.
Thank you. I knew it was alliteration of some sort. I like the Sinister Six. Matter of fact, one of my favorite comic books was the first time the Sinister Six got together to fight Spider-Man. But other than that, I'm not a huge lizard fan. Who I am a fan of is someone who talks like this. He talks really low and slow.
The lizard wasn't part of the Sinister Six.
Yes, he was.
I don't think so.
Not the original Sinister Six.
Oh, the one the permutation I'm thinking of. He certainly was. Let's see who the original Sinister Six were.
I only know because I read it this weekend.
I was going to say it was Mysterio, Kraven the Hunter, Sandman, Electro, the Vulture, and Doc Ock, wasn't it?
Yes. And then when they made their return, Kraven was replaced by Hobgoblin.
All right, maybe I'm thinking of the Sinister 12.
He was at some point. No? Yeah, the 12, yeah.
All right.
But in Civil War, he is part of the Sinister Six lizard.
Gee, I guess I'm remembering that story wrong, because I'm looking at the cover, and that's one of my favorite comic book covers, and I was sure, yeah, he was fighting the lizard in a pit of some sort. Huh. Oh, well. My bad. I don't like the lizard at all, then. Screw him. But who I do like is Lonnie Lincoln, who talks like this. Lonnie Lincoln, a.k.a. Tombstone. Not only is one of my favorite bad guys, I just love the way he looks. I love his powers. He's just a big, brutal mob boss who has super, durability, and he kind of talks like this because the part of the characteristics of him being turned slowly to stone is that, it's just kind of affecting his voice. And some people think that he does that just to lure people to get a little closer so he can grab them, which I like to think that's why. I just love Tombstone's look. I always liked Tombstone much more than the Kingpin. He's just a brutal character to watch fight. Just a good power set. I've always liked Tombstone. And I like him even more now that his daughter is the new Beetle. Because for some reason, having the daughter be the new Beetle makes him even cooler in my mind. Anyone else like
Tombstone?
He was
definitely on my... Yeah, he was on my list of... he was at the end of my list, but he was definitely on my list. I didn't know if I'm sure if everybody runs over a couple of my others, he was going to come up. So maybe an honorable mention for me. But yeah, I always liked Tombstone. I liked his transformation. The sunlight exposure kind of bothers him, so he still has to, stick to the shadows and kind of gives him that vampire sort of ominous feel with the low voice and the skulking about. Even though he's sort of like a powerhouse, He still has to skulk. I like skulkers.
Skulking. All right, that brings us back to you, Mikey. What do you got?
Well, I'm going to go with someone who I'm going to guess did not make anybody's list other than mine. Well, he may have made LT's, and that's the Living Brain. He first appeared in Amazing Spider-Man number 8 back in 1964, created, of course, by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko. He's a robot created by Dr. Petty to solve any problems. However, when people tried to steal him, they accidentally bump into him and cause him to malfunction, and he becomes a supervillain. He has had a few iterations. His latest appearance, or his last appearance as far as I know, was in the Superior Spider-Man, where the Sinister Six was trying a heist, and Spider-Man, a.k.a. Dr. Octopus at the time, encounters him and is able to disable the living brain while the rest of the sinister foes of Spider-Man managed to get away. That's why during the series, the superior foes of Spider-Man, they call themselves the Sinister Six, but there's only five of them.
Hmm. One of them might be invisible.
LT, was the living brain on your list?
He was not. You know, I haven't gotten around to reading all of the superior foes of Spider-Man.
It's just your loss.
It's true.
All right, Josh, I guess that brings us over to you.
I'm going to go with a classic. He is the man we love in the green striped shirt. Of course, the Sandman. Okay. One of my favorite power sets, honestly. You know, he can just take physical blows. I mean, most people to defeat him have to outsmart him or trap him in some way. He's basically immune to physical damage. Even when they manage to change his form somehow, he still has control over the molecules anyway because they're still made of sand. So even when he got, like, superheated and turns into glass, then he's just a giant sharp-edged glass guy. Nobody wants that. That sounds like you. That's cool. Let's break that guy back into sand. He's always had some great fights. He's just another guy who always seems to come back, and I like the fact that his powers are so versatile that really you have to find some other way to beat him rather than just direct confrontation.
My one problem with Sandman is how many times can we trick this guy into going into a cement mixer?
How many cement mixers he got?
I know of at least three. Three times he was either lured into wet cement or into a cement mixer.
I didn't say he was the smartest guy.
He's no living brain.
He is no living brain, that's for sure. The other problem is he has a little bit of trouble with the ladies because what lady wants sand in their lady parts?
Really? Really? Really?
Yeah.
All right.
And how many people were on a team with Pastepot Pete? Huh?
Ah!
Do you remember what
Good
they
point.
Were called?
Oh.
The Wizard, Pastepot Pete, and Medusa. What were they called?
Sticky Hair.
It was alliterative again. Smaller
wasn't the Fearsome Four.
Fearful Five.
No. You were both like so close, but no.
The Terrible Trio.
No, there's four of them.
I'm not good at math.
Fine, it's Frightful. The Frightful Four.
The Frightful Four.
Yeah.
All right.
Clearly a powerhouse team. Any team with Pastepot Pete on it, you know.
Well, yeah.
I'm going to go with the Shocker. He first appeared in Amazing Spider-Man number 46, created by Stan Lee and John Romita Sr. Longtime criminal. He used his special armbands to escape from prison. He likes to shock things. Classic Spider-Man villain, the Shocker.
Yeah, my wife doesn't like the Shocker at all. Fun Alex facts.
Pixie Dust, which is a... No. No fun Alex fact on that one. How old is Alex?
He's like 24, 25.
Oh, go ahead, Mike.
I think the Shocker might be the only Spider-Man villain, other than Hammerhead, who's named after a sex move.
Oh, that's just like, I feel like that's tempting the world to come up with the Lizard.
Pretty sure I did the Scorpion to my wife last weekend. Well, I jabbed an ice pick into her neck. That's something.
Yeah. That's something.
Which brings me to my next villain. That I like a lot. I really enjoy, and we've already mentioned him. Can you name a villain we mentioned, but we didn't pick?
Dr. Octopus?
Nope.
Kraven? No, we already picked him.
Nope. We picked Kraven, you idiot.
Pastepot Pete?
All right, let me ask you this.
Electro?
Josh, what is one of my... No. Josh, what is one of my...
Because we talked about the Sinister Six.
We did.
We did.
Josh, what is one of my all-time favorite magic items in Dungeons & Dragons?
Something of many things? Deck of many things?
Nope. Second favorite is the deck of many things. My first favorite is the pipes of the sewer, because I love being able to control vermin, because Vermin is so freaking cool. I loved Vermin. I'm kind of surprised no one else, when we talked about Vermin, like, remembered how cool this character was. Vermin is originally Edward Whelan. He's a geneticist who has the ability to not only change into a half-were kind of vermin monster with peak-level agility, durability, reflexes, razor-sharp teeth, inch-long claws, and can control stray dogs, stray cats, and rats. And that brings me back to my favorite magic item, which is the pipes of the sewer. He can just have you attacked by wave after wave of cannibal rats. In New York City, this superpower is pretty freaking over the top, if you ask me. If you can throw every rat in New York City at Spider-Man, I don't know how Spider-Man defeats that. That's a lot of rats, right?
That is a lot.
It's a lot of rats.
It's a lot of rats.
That's why I always liked.
It's a no joke pile.
That's why I always liked him. I always thought Vermin was just a really cool character. I like the way he's drawn. I like the way he looks. Let's go honorable mentions, because I feel like this might go a little bit longer if we can keep going, because he has a lot of good ones.
All right. Well, first, my first honorable mention will be Grizzly, a.k.a. Maxwell Markham. First appearing in Amazing Spider-Man number 139 back in 1974, created by Jerry Conway and Ross Andrew. Grizzly is a former professional wrestler who has a grudge against J. Jonah Jameson for getting him kicked out of wrestling because he was too violent. And so he gets an exoskeleton bear suit that gives him super strength and endurance and proceeds to become a criminal. Later on, he gets almost blown up by the Punisher. And he works as a muscle for a whole bunch of people and eventually ends up as a good guy working for Ant-Man Security Services. Also have to add the Boomerang to my list, although not necessarily a Spider-Man villain. He has also fought the Hulk, Iron Fist, the Defenders, and Black Widow. Boomerang, best known as a creation of Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, appeared in Tales to Astonish number 81, 1966, where he was hired by a mysterious group. He was an Australian who had immigrated to the U.S. when he was a kid. For some reason, a mysterious group decided to give him boomerangs because he was from Australia. He thought it was a sex thing to begin with, but it wasn't.
It might have been a sex thing.
If you haven't read, I know we keep on mentioning it, The Superior Foes of Spider-Man, you have to read it. He is the leader of the Sinister Six. Although, in addition to that, he's been a member of the Masters of Evil, the Thunderbolts, the Sinister 12, and the Heavy Hitters, the part of the 50 State Initiative, the Heroes of Nevada, where he was renamed Outback.
Hmm. All right, then.
Here he's got a steakhouse now.
Yeah.
Noise.
And there's one final villain that I think we should mention, even though he's not a super villain. I think you have to go with J. Jonah Jameson. Amazing Spider-Man number 1, 1963,
Drake.
Created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko. He is actually, Stan Lee based him on himself to the point where he looks kind of like Stan Lee. And his wife's name was Joan, and in which case we should also mention that Stan Lee's lovely wife Joan passed away after 70 years of marriage. Rest in peace, Miss Joan Lee. She is the reason that Stan Lee created Marvel Comics. So, cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Way to bring it down, buddy.
Yeah, I like bringing it all down before Josh has to go.
Josh, honorable mentions.
Honorable mention, so no one, I'm super surprised, mentioned probably Spider-Man's biggest villain of the past 10, 15 years, Venom. Venom and Carnage, everything that spawns from the suit certainly has to be thrown into Spider-Man's greatest adversaries over the past decade or so. He's all over the place. He's getting his own movie. He's everywhere Spider-Man isn't but ought to be. The other ones are any, you know, insert prefix and then the word goblin. No Green Goblin, no Hobgoblin, no Gray Goblin, no Demo Goblin. So there's the bevy of the Goblin family all running around. And then my last two very minor ones are Man Mountain Marco, because everyone loved Man Mountain Marco. He's just a big dude.
Yes, drink!
Beat people
drink,
up.
I can't believe it!
And the last one, of course, is Burglar. Ah. Anyone? Burglar? Burglar. Yeah,
created Spider-Man.
Creates Spider-Man. He kills Peter's uncle and inspires Peter Parker to use his powers responsibly and becomes Spider-Man. Never named in Amazing Fantasy 15 in 1962. Burglar kicks everything off. He's the original.
He is the Joe Chill of Spider-Man.
Hell yes.
Joe Chill of Spider-Man, yeah.
And that's all I got.
Tommy, you got some?
Well, I am incredibly, incredibly surprised that Mike did not mention The Gibbon. Martin Blank, The Gibbon, created by Stan Lee, John Romita Jr. Because I know Mike's proclivity for ape-related characters. So I was surprised by that. Also, Morbius, who's kind of been a good guy, kind of been a bad guy, kind of been all over the place in the Marvel Universe. Kingpin, which is kind of a Daredevil and a Spider-Man villain. And Dr. Octopus, nobody mentioned? Doc Ock?
He was mentioned in passing, but...
Yeah, but nobody really talked about him. No. I was kind of expecting him to be one of the main guys.
He's from Schenectady, New York. Most people just don't think about him that much.
Yeah, Schenectady.
Screw that guy.
Great place for a meth lab. Oh, they've already got one.
Oh!
Will-O-Wisp would be kind of another honorable mention. But that's all I got, Tom.
I kind of like Will-O-Wisp. I like Will-O-Wisp. All right, I can't believe no one mentioned one of the greatest Spider-Man villains of all time. This guy, Jackson Wheel, a.k.a. Big Wheel, who had a giant robotic giant wheel that attacked Spider-Man. He actually shows up like four times, and he also helps Stiltman a couple times, just so we get a Stiltman nod in there. Big Wheel drives this giant, insane-looking wheel that runs over people and has lasers and arms on it. I like every time I see Big Wheel, it makes me laugh. I like Big Wheel. he even shows up in the animated series, by the way, which I didn't know. Now I have to go find that. Oh my God, he's even on the Game Boy Advance version. Good God. So Big Wheel was one of my guys. Also, I can't remember, believe no one mentioned Stegron. Stegron was super cool. Stegron the Dinosaur Man, which had one of my favorite back and forths of all time. Peter Parker says to Stegron at one point, "You have figured out how to manipulate genetics at a molecular level. You can cure cancer, and yet you'd rather turn people into dinosaurs." And Stegron says, "Yeah, I don't give a shit about cancer. I like dinosaurs." That was Stegron's answer to that. I love that back. That was one of my favorite back and forths of all times. Screw cancer. I like dinosaurs. So he keeps turning people into dinosaurs, which I think is really cool. And Man-Mutt and Marco. Josh, I can't believe you took it, but it was also one of my favorites. Oh, and I love that guy. Oh, and the spot. I've almost forgot the spot.
I do have to say that Stegron. Now, before he used the chemistry on himself, one of his powers was to control dinosaurs. Now, if he didn't figure out how to turn people into dinosaurs, what useless power was that?
It's true. It's true. He needed to turn people into dinosaurs.
He literally had to create something to use his power on.
All right.
It's kind of sad.
Good enough.
Holy shit, I might have that superpower.
Good.
That's true.
We all might have the superpower.
You don't know. You don't know until you create a dinosaur.
All right. Does anyone else remember the super villain called the Spot? Or just Spot?
Yes, I remember him.
I remember from the cartoon.
Blaine.
I remember.
You don't seem all that impressed. The Spot was kind of cool. Spot could create these teleportation discs, and he could punch you through one little thing and hit you through another. The Spot didn't become really super scary until Marvel Zombies. When Marvel Zombie the Spot enters the fray, shit got weird and bloody really quick. The Spot as a zombie is terrifying, because he can get you at multiple angles all at the same time and pull you in. And the Spot was actually truly frightening in Marvel Zombies, so I like him for that. And that's it for honorable mentions.
At the front of the long box, I have Iceman. He just got a new series, so I read Iceman number one. Yeah, that's right. Another number one comic from Marvel Comics. So all the folks from the Long Box Legion, I am going to give you the digital code, and whoever goes first to Marvel.com can redeem the digital code to get a copy of Iceman number one. The code is, and I'm going to spell it phonetically, Foxtrot, Charlie, Mike, Romeo, X-Ray, Bravo, Zulu, Sierra, Whiskey, Yankee, Echo, Victor. And if you redeem that comic, not only do you get a copy of Iceman number one, but you also get a bonus digital comic, the first issue in Kraven's Last Hunt. So, and that's the reason I'm giving it out. It's for Kraven's Last Hunt's first issue. It's not for this comic, because as much as I wanted to like this comic, damn it, Marvel, why do you do this to me? It's not a horrible comic. It's just they are focusing so much on Iceman being gay rather than just making him a good character who is gay. It's just not very, it's not very fun to read. There's nothing in it that made me want to read issue number two. However, there was another comic that I recently picked up that I would like to plug, because if you haven't checked it out, I recommend you go buy it. If you like old Western novels and comic books, go pick up the Jonah Hex Yosemite Sam crossover. It is fabulous. I tell you what, DC Comics, their combination, everything they've done with the Looney Tunes has been phenomenal. The Wonder Woman Tasmanian Devil was spectacular. If you guys have not read the Batman Elmer Fudd crossover, you are missing out. So anytime you see any of these DC Looney Tunes crossover, they're all one shots. Go ahead, pick them up. They're worth the investment.
You've really been plugging those as of late, so I'm going to try a few of them. LT, what at the back of the long box?
I have Wanted, a comic book by Mark Millar and J.G. Jones. This actually was a comic book we gave away a few months ago, and so I finally decided to read the digital copy that I bought, and it is fantastic. It is a story of a guy who's just kind of being dumped on like crazy. He is an average guy. He is dating a girl who's cheating on him with his best friend, and then he suddenly finds out that the dad he never knew died and left him a boatload of money. There's just one little catch. He has to join the supervillain group that his dad belonged to and take his place. And it's a great, great story. It is not a story for children, though. I would definitely rate this as mature. And the main character has to basically become a supervillain. He learns how to become an assassin. He has an unnatural talent for killing and for firing his guns. He can shoot the wings off of a fly just naturally. And it is a fantastic series.
I'm going to have to agree with you on this one. This is one of my favorite comic books, graphic novels of all time. I love the other villains in that. I love it's a universe where the supervillain succeeded and they killed all the superheroes, and now they just know what the hell to do next. They're just so damn bored with how villains to magic, fight. It's great.
They've used magic to convince the world that the superheroes were just, that was all just comic books. And yet, you know, for the past, you know, 20 years, they've just been ruling the world secretly.
Agreed. I really like that. Without going out on a tangent, that's a great comic. But tangents are Josh's purview. Josh, do you have a tangent for us?
Yeah, so most people who listen to us probably already know that Luc Besson is coming out with Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets, probably his first space opera since The Fifth Element in 97. I loved The Fifth Element, and I have high hopes for Valerian. But I'm going to go on the realistic tangent here and say opinions about intelligent life out there. Guys, what do you think? Are we ever going to find intelligent life, or just the remnants of it, history of it? Hasn't come yet. It's already gone. What do you think?
in an infinite universe, it's hubris for us to think we're the only intelligent life that has ever or will ever exist. Sooner or later, we'll find proof.
I agree with Tom. I just don't necessarily think that we'll find proof in our lifetimes.
Clearly, I think statistically, I think it's out there, but I also find it very hard to believe we will find any proof, clearly not during our lifetimes.
You know, I have to slightly disagree. I don't think it's out of the realm of imagination that it'll be in our lifetime. I think it might be in our lifetime, but I think it's probably going to happen after we're probably gone.
Well, it's hard to determine whether we can actually recognize another intelligent life form because their version of intelligence might be different from our version.
Yeah, I actually have a new theory on this, and that is this. All intelligent life in space is probably artificial intelligence, and we'll develop artificial intelligence that can communicate with the other artificial intelligence, eliminating ourselves, which is might be the natural order of things. Scary, huh?
Yeah, well, it's most likely that if we are to explore the universe as a race, that we are gonna it's going to be artificial intelligence we send out there. We just can't biologically go that far, and the odds of us discovering anything that travels even close to the speed of light is more remote than creating a artificial person that can interact and represent the human race and culture. So yay aliens.
Yay aliens.
I'm going to LV-426.
All right. Yeah, that's where they can't get us. All right. I'm going to talk about, in my social relevance, I would like to talk a little bit about one of Spider-Man's other greatest foes, and that was Skip. Who knows Stephen Westcourt, better known as Skip? Anybody remember him?
Nope.
Mike?
Nope.
Skip Stephen Westcott molested young Peter Parker. This goes back to a comic book that was put out by the NEA that was talking about child molestation. It was Spider-Man and the Power Pack, and they talk about, you know, how to report molestation in your life. And it is revealed in this that Peter Parker, as a young man, was molested by Stephen Westcourt, better known as Skip. Skip actually makes it into regular continuity later on. This comic book, once again, put out by the National Committee for the Prevention of Child Abuse. It's a very interesting comic book, and it does help children talk about, or it should hopefully help children talk about, issues in their life when it comes to the delicate subject of whether or not they're being mistreated by adults or other children. So if you can find this, once again, this was a one-shot Marvel and a National Committee for the Prevention of Child Abuse comic book that was put out. And Stephen Westcourt, who abused Peter Parker before he ever became Spider-Man, was a fellow student who was a couple of grades above Peter Parker, who was also interested in science, who invited him back to his apartment building, and something terrible happened. It never really goes into how bad the molestation was, but it is fairly clear that it was something that Peter Parker had to deal with as an adult. Way to bring it down, Tom.
And you said this had to do with Power Pack?
No, Power Pack was a second story.
Yeah, there's a second story when one of the members of Power Pack is also molested, and they also bravely come through and talk to an adult about what happened. So Spider-Man and the Power Pack are helping a young child who is being abused by a babysitter, find the courage to come out and tell an adult what's happening. And they do this by saying, even though we're superheroes, something like this happened to us, anyone can be vulnerable. And if you come forward, you know, you'll be the hero. Way to bring it down, Tom. Sorry.
Right.
I mean, to bring it down.
LT, do we have a suicide note this week?
I think we do.
Dear Longbox guys, that sucked.
Dear Longbox guys, I just heard you talk about child molestation, and now I want to read a bunch of Power Pack comics, which will probably make me want to commit suicide because it wasn't a very good book.
Hey, I'm sick of people shitting on Power Pack. I kind of like that book.
Really? And that was enough for me.
I am working on getting the entire Power Pack collection one quarter at a time.
Good luck with all that.
I will say this. I will never give up the one Power Pack comic I have because I spent too damn much time finding it.
Mutant Massacre?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I went to so damn many comic book stores to find that, son of a bitch.
Speaking of Mutant Massacre Power Pack, Josh, don't you have that comic book?
The damn Mutant Massacre was one of the first, like, multi-comic frickin' things Marvel did, and it was so terribly organized that they gave you a map inside the covers of the Mutant Massacre books, and you had to buy a Power Pack comic to finish the series. It was awful.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
No comic book stores bought that Power Pack comic.
Because no one was buying Power Pack.
Somebody was buying Power Pack. I went to all of them. All of them in my area.
Oh, contraire. Power Pack lasted over 60 issues, which is more than most Marvel comics are lasting now.
That's right. Most of them are lasting one issue today.
All right. Well, I guess that brings us over to plugs. Mikey, anything good to plug?
Well, I'd like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing us our geek rock music. You can go check him out at kirbycracklemusic.com. You should also check out our YouTube channel. Just search for The Long Box Guys. And finally, The Long Box Guys are sponsoring a hole at a benefit golf tournament this coming July 21st. In Mississippi, the proceeds are going to benefit Lawrence Krantz III and his family while he is undergoing treatment for leukemia. If you are interested in helping out this police officer and his family as they fight cancer, you can go to the Police Benevolent Foundation and make a donation if you want.
What hole are we sponsoring?
Four, because that's your favorite number.
Are we really sponsoring four? Because I'm going to give an extra couple bucks for that.
Yep, we're getting hole number four, as far as you know.
As far as I know.
There are four of us long box guys. There is a Fantastic Four. There's
Frightful Four. Four. It's Thor and the Warriors
we're
Four.
We're all for this.
Is it the Warriors Four?
It was just a miniseries for us. Never mind. Don't listen.
Ooh, that's the Warriors Ooh. Three plus Sif.
Yeah.
She counts. It's called the Three Musketeers, but there are four of them.
It's true.
Yeah.
Sexist, Tom.
Bastards.
Sorry. All right. Well, as long as we're promoting stuff, I'm going to promote really quick our Twitter page, which is at the Long Box Guys. We've had a lot of fun there over the last couple of weeks talking about other weird and crazy stuff. And if you get a chance, check us out. We talk about everything from comic books to pro wrestling to silly stuff. Right now, I'm going to start tweeting like crazy. They just announced who Squirrel Girl is, and I couldn't be happier. So happy. You guys know who Squirrel, Squirrel Girl is going to be?
Nope.
Squirrel Girl, you remember the girl from the 8, Melania something. I can never, her name is Melania Von Troop. You guys probably remember her as the AT&T chick. She is super cute. She's a refugee from Armenia, and she's really nice, and I like her. And she's the new Squirrel Girl. Don't worry, there'll be links.
Except for the TV show?
So, yeah.
Squirrel Girl.
Just so you know, they've cast the rest of the new Warriors also, but I don't care. I'm just super happy about her.
We should also wish good luck to one of our Long Box Legion. Alec is going to be competing in the World Championship Dodgeball Tournament in Boston, Massachusetts, as a member of two different groups, Category 5 and what was the other one, Crew something?
Well, I think it's just a national tournament. I don't know that it's a world tournament.
It's a world tournament.
And it's going to be on the Coup de Grâce and Category 5.
That's right, Coup de Grâce.
And when is that?
And that is August 18th to the 21st at the Aganis Arena. Oh, I'm sorry, it isn't. It's at the Boston University Rec Center.
Oh, we're going to get that kid so drunk.
It's not at the Aganis Arena. It's at the Boston University Rec Center. So there he is, kids. They're probably going to be locked in overnight because it's at the rec center.
So if you want to make a donation to help save the rec center, just write to luckybastard@outsidethelongbox.com/electricboogaloo.
Yeah, my friendly neighborhood comic shop, Friendly Neighborhood Comics. You can find them at friendlycomics.com, coincidentally. Also, Epic Nerd Camp. Check out epicnerdcamp.com. I will be there for the full boat week, and I will be teaching longsword, fencing, and stage combat.
Gee, I wish I could join you for that this year. I just got so much going on that week.
Yeah, Boston Comic Con.
Well, I'm also biking all the way up the Cape this that week.
True that.
LT, do you have anything you want to, besides your services, you got anything you want to plug?
I would like to plug IanLino.com. 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 Purveyor of fine t-shirts and other geeky things. Nothing tastes so good as scotch in your Johnny Skywalker scotch glass.
That's true. All right. Well, I guess that brings us to the end of the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening again. I hope everyone enjoyed talking about Spider-Man and his villains. Mike, what is this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
Terrific. And the New Warriors is going to be set mostly in Connecticut. Connecticut, I'm pretty sure, is Josh's sector. Is that correct, Josh?
Nope, Connecticut is definitely not my sector.
None of it?
None of it. Especially not Willimantic. Sorry, right. Willie.
And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. You'll live a hell of a lot longer. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Wrestled for about a half hour, and then he was too tired to move, which is just exactly the way I like my dogs.